Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Brean's Bible Institute. I'm Pastor Tim Warner, coming to you from my office in South Carolina. We're in module number 7 on the apostolic mission, and this is lesson number 16. We're talking about the mission ministry of the Apostle Paul. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about his conversion, and then last week, we spent some time talking about the fact that immediately after his conversion and on the road to Damascus, that the Apostle Paul, and after he was baptized, of course, in Damascus, that the Apostle Paul began to preach that Jesus was the Christ. And then we saw, based on Acts chapter 9 and also Galatians chapter 1, that the Apostle Paul increased in strength, which, according to Galatians, refers to the time that he spent in Arabia. He left Damascus, went to Arabia for a lengthy period of time, then he returned back to Damascus, after which he then began to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And he did that from the Old Testament scriptures, as we talked about last time. Now, we left off last week talking about, in Acts chapter 11, that there was a... After Paul preached again in Damascus and proved that Jesus was the Christ, he went down to Jerusalem. He stayed with Peter for 15 days. He was introduced to all of the apostles and also to James, the brother of Christ, according to Galatians chapter 1. But after only 15 days of being in Jerusalem, such a ruckus started down there because he was continuing to proclaim that Jesus was the Christ, that the church there sent him away back to Tarsus, which was his hometown in southern Turkey. Then we saw in Acts chapter 11 that a church was formed in Antioch. Now, Antioch is also in Syria, along with Damascus, not that far from Damascus, and it was one of the major cities of Syria. And we saw that according to Acts chapter 11, verse 19, that as the gospel was going up to Antioch, that the Christians were only proclaiming the message to Jews. It says specifically that it's in verse 19, it says, preaching the word to none, to no one but the Jews only. And then it talks about how some of the Hellenists, Jewish, which were Jews, were converted, and so forth. And then we see that Barnabas, the same one that had befriended Paul when he came from Damascus to Jerusalem and stayed for 15 days, that the same Barnabas was then sent by the church in Jerusalem up to Antioch, all this while Paul is in Tarsus, his hometown, kind of laying low there for a while. Barnabas goes up to Antioch, and he stays there for a while with the church, and he is teaching and so forth. And there was a lot of encouragement going on, and the apostles were very glad, Christians were very glad, happy, because the gospel is spreading now to other places outside of Judea, but still only among Jews. And then we found in verse 25 that Barnabas then left Antioch to go to Tarsus in Turkey to find Paul, or Saul, as he was called then. And verse 26 says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year, they, that is Saul and Barnabas and the others, assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So, what we see at the end of chapter 11 is that Saul, or Paul, is making, he's leaving Antioch now, and he's making his second trip or second visit to the church in Jerusalem. Now, what occurs after this is it says in chapter 12, verse 1, that about that time, that is the time that Saul and Barnabas were traveling from Antioch down to Jerusalem, that Herod the king, and this is Herod Agrippa, by the way, it's not the same Herod that was present for Jesus' trial. This is, I believe, his grandson, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, his name was Herod Agrippa. It says that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So this is, James here is the brother of John. This is not the James that we talked about last time, which was the brother of Jesus, that had been sort of given the role of pastoring the church in Jerusalem. This was the James, the brother of John. You may remember that in the Gospels, the three most prominent of the apostles were Peter, James, and John. And they're almost always listed in that order: Peter, James, and John. And they're listed that way because of importance. All right, what the importance that was placed upon them by the writer. Now, it goes on to say that Herod saw that, you know, killing James pleased the Jews, so he threw Peter in prison also. And then, of course, this is the story. If we continue reading here, we have the story of Peter's imprisonment, and then the angel appearing to Peter while he was in prison, and the angel, you know, the earthquake, and the angel coming and releasing them from prison, while, and all the while, the church in Jerusalem had been praying for Peter while he was in prison, and you all know the story. Then he comes, knocks on the door where they're having the prayer meeting, and they can't believe it's Peter. Anyway, we have this whole story going on. Let's go down to verse 16. It says, "Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, 'Go tell these things to James and to the brethren.'" I want you to notice that. He says, "Go tell it to James and to the brethren." This is an important statement because, remember, James the apostle, who was the brother of John, had been killed already by Herod, according to verse 2, right? So this James is the brother of Jesus. This is the James that Paul mentions in Galatians, which we're going to look at shortly. This is also the James, the brother of Jesus, who wrote the book of James in our New Testament. And notice it says, "Tell these things to James and to the brethren." Now, why does it refer to it as James and the brethren, as opposed to, I don't know, the apostles, the church, or whatever? Well, it's because by this time, James had been appointed by the apostles, had been appointed sort of the leader or pastor of the church in Jerusalem. So saying, you know, report it to James and the brethren is essentially saying, go back and report it to the leadership of the church in Jerusalem. Now, why do you suppose the apostles themselves were not the pastors of the church in Jerusalem? Think about that for just a minute. Why does the Bible have another man? Yes, an important man. He was the brother of Jesus, but he was not one of the 12 apostles. Why is James put in this place of being sort of the pastor or the leader of the church in Jerusalem and not Peter or John or any of the other of the 12 apostles? Why? Why do you think that is? Well, I can't hear you. Anyway, it's obvious because Jesus told them that they were to be preaching the gospel first at Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. See, their mission was not to stay local. Their mission was to spread out and proclaim the gospel in other places. And so James was the guy who was sort of going to stay there and head up the church in Jerusalem, right? All right, then it says, verse 18, Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food from the king's country. So we got some politicking going on here between Herod and the people of Tyre and Sidon, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea there, up on what would be Israel today, but up towards the northern part on the Mediterranean coast. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Now, you know, this is politics, right? They want his favor because their country is supplied by the king, and so they're patronizing him, if you will. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord struck him, or an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. That is, he was accepting the praise of the people as a god. He was accepting that. And it says, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the law of God grew and multiplied. Now, what's critical about this particular passage about the death of Herod Agrippa is that it occurred while Paul and Barnabas were in Jerusalem the second time. And how do we know that? Because if you go back to verse 30 of chapter 11, it says that the church in Antioch sent this gift by the hands of Paul and Barnabas to go to Jerusalem. And then it says in 12, it says, now about that time, that is when Paul and Barnabas were sent to Jerusalem. So they're, about the time that Paul and Barnabas were on their way to Jerusalem, that's when Herod killed James, and then he put Peter in prison, and then we have the story of Peter's release. And then after that is when Herod was at Tyre and Sidon, and this is when he gave his speech, and it was during his speech that he died, or immediately after his speech that he died, and it says he was eaten of worms. Now, this account, believe it or not, it sounds remarkable, but the same account is given by the Jewish historian Josephus, who was not a Christian, but he gives the story of the death of Herod Agrippa in almost exactly the same kind of terminology that he immediately after the crowds were, talking about or shouting that it's the voice of a god and not of a man, that he immediately fell ill in his stomach, and that he was in great pain, and that within a three-day period, he died in agony. And now the Bible tells us he was eaten by worms. That may have been from inside out. That is, some parasites inside of his gut killed him. Anyway, but what's important about the death of Herod is that Herod Agrippa, is that we know exactly when he died from secular Roman history. You can look online, you can look in any encyclopedia, look up Herod Agrippa, and you will see that he died in AD 44. AD 44, all right, it's a very important year. But notice that in verse 25, it says that immediately after it talks about Herod's death, it says, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, that is, delivering the gift from the church in Antioch. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark. Now, John Mark, by the way, was Peter's nephew. So here's the scenario. Paul and Barnabas go down to Jerusalem from Antioch. This is Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. The first time, he was there for 15 days, right? And then he went to Tarsus, and then Barnabas got him, brought him to Antioch. Now, after a year of being in Antioch, he goes back to Jerusalem. During the time that Paul and Barnabas are in Jerusalem, on Paul's second visit to Jerusalem is when Herod Agrippa died. All right? And we see that after his death, Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch. So we know the year that Paul was in Jerusalem the second time, and that was the year AD 44, the year in which Herod Agrippa died. Now, this is why this is important. I want you to take your Bible and go to back to Galatians. We've been spending a little bit of time in Galatians because in Galatians chapters 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul gives a history of his trips to Jerusalem. And the reason why he's giving this history is to show that he did not receive the message that he preached from the other apostles, that he got it directly from Jesus Christ. And we saw this last time in verse 1. He makes a point of saying, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That is, Christ himself is the one who sent Paul. And then all the way down in verse 11, he says, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Again, he's making the same point. He didn't receive it secondhand. For neither I received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? It's very, very important in Paul's ministry that he defends himself as one of the 12. Secondly, that he was personally instructed by Jesus Christ, just as the other 11 were prior to Christ's ascension to heaven. Paul was instructed by Christ himself through visions while he was in Arabia, and also afterward, as we saw last week. Christ also appeared to him while he was in Jerusalem for those 15 days while he was praying at the temple. And Christ appeared to Paul at other times as well and instructed him by means of the Holy Breath. Remember, the Holy Breath, when someone says that they were in the Spirit or in the Breath, it means that they were in this state whereby heaven and earth are connected together and they are able to talk to Christ face to face as though he was here in person, or as though they were there in heaven themselves, but they're not. I mean, Paul was still on earth. He was in Arabia when that happened. He was in Jerusalem when that happened. The Apostle John was on the island of Patmos when the similar thing happened with him as well. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 1, we saw that in verse 18 that it was 3 years after Paul's conversion that he went to Jerusalem the first time, and then he takes great pains to say that he saw the other apostles and James, but no one else while he was there, and then he went to he talks about how he went to Syria and Cilicia, which is going back to his home in Tarsus, and so forth. But now look at chapter 2 and verse 1. This passage has been misunderstood by many commentators. In fact, most commentators misunderstand this passage, and they connect Paul's trip to Jerusalem here in chapter 2, verse 1, with his third trip to Jerusalem, which we'll read about in Acts 15, and not with his second trip to Jerusalem. And that's unfortunate, but it's wrong. Notice what it says. He says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Now, Paul is talking here about his second trip to Jerusalem, not his third. He's talking about the time that we were reading about in Acts chapter 11, verse 30, when Paul and Barnabas were sent to Jerusalem by the church in Antioch. the time when they were there when Herod the king died. I want you to notice the word after in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Galatians. It says after 14 years. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 18, it says after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem. Now, the word after in chapter 1, verse 18 is the Greek word meta. Meta means after. And Paul was talking about after his conversion. That is 3 years after his conversion on the road to Damascus is when he went up to Jerusalem. However, in chapter 2, verse 1, he doesn't use the word meta here. He uses the Greek preposition dia instead, and it should not be translated after in your Bible. That's an incorrect translation. Literally, in the Greek, it says, then 14 years through. Dia is through. Then 14 years through, I went up again to Jerusalem. Now, why is this important? Well, first of all, remember when did Herod Agrippa die? He died in AD 44. Isn't that right? AD 44 was how many years after Christ's crucifixion? Think about that. What year was Jesus crucified? Some say he was crucified in AD 30. Some say he was crucified in AD 33. Well, if he was crucified in AD 33, and Paul is saying that we have Paul's conversion, and then 3 years later he goes up to Jerusalem, that would have to be at least AD 36 or 37. And then 14 years later would put us well beyond the time when Paul was in Jerusalem the second time, because that's when Herod died in AD 44. However, if Jesus was crucified in AD 30, which he was, and if Paul, when he says, then 14 years through, Paul was not talking about 14 years after something had happened to him. He says 14 years through. Well, the question then is through what? 14 years through what? Well, the answer is he's talking about the period of the gospel going out. The gospel began to go out from the day of Pentecost, right? Jesus told the other apostles to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the power of God. And then it was on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Breath came upon them and they began to go out and began to preach the gospel. And that's what Paul's talking about here. 14 years through takes you to exactly, counting from Pentecost, takes you to exactly the year AD 44, which is the year that Herod Agrippa died, which is the year that Paul and Barnabas were in Jerusalem the second time, having been sent down to bring a gift, a donation to the saints in Jerusalem from the church in Antioch. Now, it was at this second trip that something happened that's not mentioned in the book of Acts, but the Apostle Paul tells us. Now, see, if you go back to Acts, it doesn't really tell us what happened with Paul and Barnabas while they were in Jerusalem the second time. It simply says in chapter 11, verse 30, this they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. All right, they sent the gift to Jerusalem by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Then all of chapter 12, it only talks about what happened with Herod, how he killed James, then he put Peter in prison, Peter was released, and then Herod gave a speech and Herod died. And then it immediately says Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had finished their ministry. So they had delivered the gift. But it doesn't say anything about what happened with Paul and how he interacted with the other elders, Peter, the others there. James was already dead, right? The apostle James. But Peter and John, and then James, who was the other James, the pastor of the church, who was the brother of Jesus, he was there. Now, I want to show you some clues that show why this event that was 14 years later was talking about Paul's second trip to Jerusalem and not his third. His third trip we find in Acts 15, where there was a council held, all right? Which we'll talk about that in a future class, I think. All right, let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years through, and again, that's counting from Pentecost, so the year AD 44, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation. Now, why does it say he went up by revelation? Well, the reason is because the reason that they went up to Jerusalem from Antioch was because of the prophecy by Agabus, the prophet that we read about in Acts chapter 11, the last few verses, that this prophet Agabus said there was going to be a famine. And so they took, it was because of that prophecy or that revelation through that prophet that they took the gift up to Jerusalem. So that's what he's talking about here. He says, I went up by revelation but now notice Paul tells us what he did while he was there that's not mentioned in the book of Acts. And what does it say? I communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Now, when Paul says, I communicated to them the gospel which I preach, he doesn't use the past tense. He doesn't say, I went there and communicated the gospel which I preached to the Gentiles. He says, I went there and communicated the gospel that I preached, that I now preach to the Gentiles. All right, this is an important point because Paul, by the time Paul made his second trip to Jerusalem with Barnabas from Antioch, he had not yet been preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, why then does Paul say that he went there and he communicated to them in Jerusalem, that is to the apostles in Jerusalem, the gospel that I now preach to the Gentiles? What was he doing? He was getting their approval and their blessing. That's what he was doing. See, Paul, prior to this, had gone into Arabia and had been taught by Jesus Christ himself. And he got the message directly from Christ himself. All right? But then, now on this occasion, when he goes up to Antioch the second time, to Jerusalem from Antioch the second time, he now is telling or explaining to the other apostles what Christ had taught him while he was in Arabia, which is the gospel that he was preaching when he wrote the book of Galatians, which was, of course, later, all right, when he actually wrote this. All right, so let's continue. He says, I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach, that is, I now preach, among the Gentiles, but privately, to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Now, what is he doing? What does he mean by that? To those of reputation. Well, he's talking about the apostles and those who were the genuine leadership in the church, but not to everyone. All right, he didn't get the blessing of all the Christians in the Jerusalem church. He only met with Peter and John and the other apostles that were in Jerusalem and sat down and explained to them what Christ had taught him while he was in Arabia and the message that Christ had told him to go preach to the Gentiles. But see, at this point, Paul had not yet gone to preach the message to the Gentiles. He is laying it out before the other apostles for their approval before he began to preach this message to the Gentiles. Then he says, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And the point he's making here is that the apostles in Jerusalem, did not tell Paul that, okay, Paul, that's good. All you learned from Jesus is good, but you also need to circumcise. You also need to teach them to keep the law of Moses and these other things. They didn't do that. They accepted what Christ had taught Paul and what Christ had sent Paul to preach. They accepted it as it was to be presented to the Gentiles. And then he says, and this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us again to bondage. And these, here he's talking about the whole reason he wrote the book of Galatians, which was later, after his first missionary journey. After that, some of the Jews from Jerusalem and Judea, Jewish Christians, were going around and undermining Paul's ministry. All right, and Paul understood that there was an issue here, right? And that some people were not going to be happy with the message that he was going to proclaim to the Gentiles. And so he met with the apostles secretly because of these people that he refers to here as false brethren. And we're going to see them popping up shortly after this and trying to undermine Paul's work after we get to the end of Paul's first missionary journey, which hopefully we'll get to still today. All right, he says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that is to those false brethren who came in to spy out our liberty. He said, we didn't submit to them at all. We only submitted our message to the apostles privately. All right, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, and here he's talking about the apostles, whether they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows no favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. Now, excuse me. I know this sounds a little difficult to understand, but what he's talking about here is that the message, when Paul presented the message that Christ taught him in Arabia, when Paul presented that to the leadership there, the apostles, that they didn't add anything at all to the message that he preached, right? They didn't say, Paul, that's good, but you need to add this or that. Nothing like that. And when he says those who seem to be something, he's talking about those who were of importance, all right, the leadership of the church. And then he says, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. The word were there is in the imperfect tense in Greek, which refers to something that was occurring for a period of time in the past. So literally we would translate it, whatever they used to be makes no difference to me. Now, why would he say that? Well, the reason was because Peter, James, and John, James was dead, of course, at this time, but they were fishermen, right? When Jesus called the first apostles, they were blue-collar workers. They were not the highly educated people, but they were just tradesmen. Isn't that right? And that's what he's talking about. He says, whatever they were, they used to be, it makes no difference to me. God shows no personal favoritism. And then he says, for those who seem to be something added nothing to me. That is, when Paul presented the message, they didn't add anything to his message. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the circumcision had been committed to me, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Now, what is he talking about here? Well, he's talking about, Paul is talking about how that Christ had appointed him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, we see this clearly in Paul's conversion. Remember, if you remember a couple of weeks back, we looked at the three accounts of Paul's conversion. Well, in Acts chapter 9, it says, when Ananias was sent to him, he was told, he, that is Paul, is a chosen vessel of mine, this is what Jesus said, to bear my name before the Gentiles. In Acts 22, when Paul was telling his story, again, about his conversion, he says that Ananias told him, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear his voice, the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. That's in Acts 22, 14 and 15. And then finally, in Paul's defense before Agrippa, he says that Jesus said to him, I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's in Acts chapter 26, 16 through 18. So here in Galatians 2, when it says that they saw, when Paul presented his case and all that he had learned, he presented it to the other apostles. And it says, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is the gospel for the Gentiles, was had been committed to me, and that is from his testifying about his conversion experience and what Jesus said to him, what Ananias said to him when Jesus sent Ananias to him, and so forth. But then he says, as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Now, question. When was Peter put in charge of proclaiming the gospel to the Jews, the gospel of the circumcision? When was he put in charge of that? Didn't Jesus tell all the apostles to go? Didn't Jesus commission all the apostles to preach the gospel in Jerusalem and then in Judea and then in Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth, the Gentiles? He did, didn't he? But then why then is Paul specifically called the apostle to the Gentiles? And he says, as Peter was commissioned to be the apostle to the Jews. Why did Jesus, of all the 12 apostles, now including Paul, why did Jesus choose two men to head up the preaching of the gospel to the Jews, Peter, and the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, Paul? Why did he choose those two men to head that up? But more importantly, we know when he chose Paul. When did he choose Peter? When did Jesus give Peter that job? What do you think? Well, the answer is in the Gospel of John, that after Jesus' resurrection, after he appeared to Peter, and then, you know, after he appeared to the other apostles, John records that Jesus turned to Peter and he said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Peter, and Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then he asks him a second time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And then he asks him a third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter got annoyed. And he says, Lord, you know I love you. And Jesus says to him the third time, feed my sheep. The word feed there literally is shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. And he's talking about the Jews. Shepherd my sheep. You know why he calls them sheep there? Because the prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and so forth, they talk about the shepherds of Israel. How that the shepherds of Israel have led them astray, have led the people astray. The people are the sheep. And how that they have not followed God. They have not, they were feeding themselves instead of the sheep, and how they were allowing the sheep to be devoured by animals and so forth. Of course, it's all an allegory, right? But he talks about this, Jesus, when he was looking out over the crowds of the Jews during his ministry, he says he looked out them and saw them as sheep without a shepherd, scattered without a shepherd. And Jesus was going to go back to heaven, and he tells Peter, look, Peter, I want you to shepherd my sheep. I want you to shepherd my people, Israel. And so that was Peter's call to sort of head up the shepherding of Israel. And Paul was called in that role for the Gentiles. We see those two, they were really, Peter and Paul ended up being the two main apostles when it came to getting the job done among Jew and among Gentiles. All right, so let's continue. He says, verse 7, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the circumcision had been committed to me, as the gospel for the uncircumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles." And this does not mean that he had been effective already in his role of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, but that God was preparing him to be for that role. Now look at verse 9. This is very important. "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to the circumcised." Now, this, giving them the right hand of fellowship was essentially giving them the blessing of the other apostles, that they, Paul and Barnabas, now Barnabas is sort of Paul's helper, that they could go and proclaim this message that had been approved by the other apostles. They could go and proclaim it to the Gentiles. But I want you to notice again in verse 9 where he says, "When James, Cephas," or Cephas, "and John." I've told you before that the order in which people are mentioned is important. Remember that this was the second time Paul had gone to Jerusalem. This was during the time when Peter had been thrown in prison, when Herod had killed James the apostle. And then Herod had died, right? And so who was it that Paul was conferring with? It was James, then Cephas or Cephas. Cephas or Cephas is the Aramaic pronunciation of the word Peter, which means a stone. It's the name that Jesus had given to Peter. He was originally called Simon, right? Or Simeon. And then Jesus said, you know, "You're not going to be called Simon anymore, you're going to be called Peter." And then he went on to say, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church," and so forth. But Peter, Jesus renamed him Peter, or Cephas, or Cephas in Aramaic. And so when Paul, when he's saying this, and he lists them in this order, he lists them as, number one, James. Now, James the Apostle is dead, right? Whenever Peter, James, and John, James the Apostle, are listed, they're always listed in that order. Peter, then James, then John. Here, the apostle James is dead, but James, the brother of Jesus, had been appointed the leader or the head or the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, and so he is listed first here, right? And then Peter or Cephas, and then John are listed. James the apostle is not listed because he's already dead. He says, "Who seemed to be the pillars, they perceived the grace that had been given to me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." Now, what's important here is that Paul and Barnabas had not yet gone to the Gentiles. They had not yet been preaching. Paul did not go out and start preaching the message that he was taught by Jesus Christ. He did not immediately go out and do it before he had been accepted and his message had been approved by Peter and John, the two of the top three apostles, and also James, who was a pastor of the church in Jerusalem, the brother of Jesus. Those men, and no doubt other of the apostles, gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that they might go to the Gentiles. See, this was the permission from the leadership in the church in Jerusalem. It was Paul and Barnabas' permission that they could go out and declare the message that Paul had been taught by Jesus through revelation while he was in while Paul was in Arabia, they got permission to go out and preach the gospel. And then it was after that that we'll see that Paul and Barnabas then are sent out to preach the gospel to the Gentiles for the very first time. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13. And chapter 12, sorry. We read this before, but this is right after Herod died. At the end of that meeting that Paul just described in Galatians chapter 2, at the end of that meeting, after they had been, Paul and Barnabas had been given the right hand of fellowship by James, by Peter, and by John, and no doubt by the other apostles as well. Now, verse 25 of chapter 12 of Acts. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, that is, giving the gift to the church. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark is Peter's nephew. Now, chapter 13. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, these are all prophets and teachers, all right? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, this is in Antioch, the Holy Spirit, or Holy Breath, said, quote, and no doubt this was through the prophets, that is, speaking through the mouth of the prophets, which is one of the ways in which the breath of God, or the Spirit of Christ, as it's called. You know, whenever the Holy Spirit or Holy Breath speaks through a prophet, it's called the Spirit of Christ, according to Peter. I believe it's 2 Peter. He talks about the Spirit of Christ that was in the prophets when they prophesied. Well, it's the same thing here. So this Holy Breath is the Spirit of Christ, or it's the Holy Breath of God, but it's Christ who's speaking by means of the Holy Breath of God. And I'll show you why that's the case. He says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Breath said, quote, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Now, this is the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey to the Gentiles, where he went all through the area of Galatia and he proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ directly to the Gentiles as opposed to Jews. It's the first time that the gospel is being proclaimed by Paul to the Gentiles as the fulfillment of what Christ had told him he was going to do when he sent him out, when he was on the road to Damascus and Christ told him he was going to send him out to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. What I want you to know here, what I want you to understand, is that this only took place after Paul submitted his message that he had learned from Christ. He submitted it to the other apostles, and the other apostles, first of all, he says, they added nothing to it. That is, they recognized that the message that Paul was given by Christ was complete in and of itself for the Gentiles. It needed to have nothing added to it, not circumcision, not keeping the law of Moses, not kosher laws, not observing the Sabbath. None of those things needed to be added to the message that Paul was given to proclaim among the Gentiles. But the other apostles in Jerusalem gave him the right hand of fellowship that Paul and Barnabas as his helper would then go out and proclaim this message to the Gentiles, adding nothing to it. And now what we see happening is when they then arrive back at Antioch, the church in Antioch meets together, and the Holy Breath of God makes this announcement by means of one of those prophets saying, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I have called them. I have called them. Who called them? And then it says, verse 4, so then being sent out by the Holy Breath. Well, who sent Paul? Who called Paul and who sent Paul? It was Jesus Christ. We see all these other passages that we've looked at already where Paul was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, where he was sent by Jesus Christ. We've seen all those things. So when the Holy Breath is saying to separate Saul and Barnabas for the work that I have called them, it's Jesus is the I here speaking by means of the Holy Breath. It's not a third person of the Trinity that's coming and saying, look, I have called Paul to be my apostle. Wait a minute, I thought he was Jesus' apostle. No, he's my apostle, the third person of the Trinity. See, that's nonsense. It's Christ speaking by means of the Holy Breath, telling them that he has called Paul. Now, something else you need to notice is that when he says, I have called them here in verse 2, the word called is in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense refers to something that has occurred in the past, but the result continues to the present. See, Paul was called on the road to Damascus by Jesus. And that calling was still in effect. It was in effect for Paul's entire life to be Christ's ambassador, Christ's emissary, or Christ's apostle to the nations. And so now he's simply being nudged along on his way because of the calling, because of the former calling that Christ had put upon the apostle Paul to send him out. All right, that's it for today. Next week, we're going to pick up on we'll talk about Paul's first missionary journey, which was throughout the area of Galatia, which would be kind of, Eastern Turkey, the area of Eastern Turkey. Paul made a circuit through there, went to several cities, and we'll see that it was only after Paul had been commissioned by the Church of Antioch, because of the Holy Breath making this statement, that Paul then began to proclaim the message to the Gentiles, and something else happened. He began to do miracles in the name of Jesus, healings and so forth that occurred, as we'll see next time. But that only happened after he submitted his message to the other apostles. They approved his message, and then the Holy Breath said, now, Paul, here's the green light. You and Barnabas, go out and start preaching the message to the Gentiles. Okay, that's it for today, and we'll see you next week. God bless.